preaching today. I wouldn't dignify what I do by calling it preaching. My daddy wanted me to be a preacher, and then he wanted me to be an elder, but I checked the box that said none of the above. I do want us to enter into a study today, though, and I'd appreciate it if you'd feel free to chime in your thoughts, and maybe we can end up with a good study. I'd appreciate your input on this lesson today. I want us to talk about what do we do with sin in the church. We need to study this one because I read in Romans 3:23 where it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And I know I do. I sin all the time. If I'm not doing something wrong, I'm thinking something wrong, and poor attitude, and if I get through all that, I'm neglecting to do something I ought to be doing. So I have trouble with it all the time. I'm assuming you're not far behind me in those aspects of your Christian life. And the question is, well, what do we do with it? First, recognize that there is sin. Recognize a sin when I see it. Back in the early days of Tennessee Walking Horse history, one of the early trainers, and a great trainer he was a man named Sweetnin Driscoll. Sweetnin, that's a good name, isn't it? Sweetnin was a great trainer, but he had a weakness for the bottle. On one occasion, he came home much the worse for wear. His wife got him in the house, got him undressed, and got him in bed. Then she knelt down beside the bed and prayed, "Lord, please help my poor drunk husband." Said Sweetnin raised up on wet elbow and said, "Don't tell him I'm drunk, just tell him I'm sick." We do that with sin sometimes, don't we? Don't want to recognize it. I've talked to a lot of people in my life that were caught in the middle of some awful mess, sinful mess, that would not admit that it was a sin. I was directed to go to North Alabama one time. I was working several states anyway, and so I arranged the trip to visit this preacher who had got in a mess, got arrested for a DUI, spent the night in jail. He said, "I don't think a drink of alcohol is a sin in itself." I said, "I don't either, but it is for me, and it sounds like it is for you." But the man didn't recognize that he'd done wrong. That's the first thing we've got to do. Let's talk first about the individual. What if I sin, and what if you sin? Feel free to jump in now. Don't mind interrupting me. It's been done before, and I don't mind it a bit. What if I sin? Well, first of all, let me give you a little background. Rose and I were raised in an atmosphere, I think she'll agree with me, in extremely conservative congregations. And it taught like this. You're baptized, you come up out of the waters of baptism, you're free and clear, you're sinless and pure. Then you sin, you're out of Christ. You ask for forgiveness of that sin, you're back in Christ. You sin again, you're out of Christ again. And so on and so forth. That can't be true. That just cannot be true. If it is true, I don't have a chance. I don't believe many of you do. I'll probably be thinking some ugly thought just as a truck hits me. So it's got to be different from that, doesn't it? My boss, a dear fella, I loved him like a brother. He was a Calvinist. If you know anything about Calvinism, their teaching is illustrated by the word tulip. And the I in tulip stands for the impossibility of apostasy. The old doctrine of once saved, always saved. That can't be right either. There's too many scriptures to contradict it. The truth is somewhere in the middle. But let's go back to what we were talking about. What if I sin? Well, first of all, who did I sin against? 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us all of our transgressions. And he is." Well, what if I think an ugly thought, which I do all the time? Catch myself at it 40 times a day, Joe. Hateful or lustful or whatever. Poor attitude. What do I do? I didn't sin against David. David doesn't know anything about it. It's just between me and God. But I still need to make it right with him, don't I? But nobody else needs to know about that, do they? But what if I sin against David? Then I got to make it right with David. The sin, the confession needs to be as public as the sin. Is that a good sign? My old daddy coined that phrase, and I think it's a good one. I was leading singing at a youth rally. Where was it, Rose? Iuka, I think. Somewhere. Preacher got up there and talking to a bunch of young people and said, have you been overcome by your passions in the back seat of a car? Any of you young people, you need to come forward and make that public and confess the wrongs. And I said, no, they don't. Nobody knows about it but them and God. They need to make it right with each other. It doesn't need to go any further. He's wrong on that. What about, let's go back to me sinning against David, and maybe I'm not even aware I did it. Let's back up just a minute. Let me use another illustration. We were at Hillcrest years ago, and one of the men there was involved in the BBS, and he was dressed up like a Roman soldier. And I walked by and I said, John, you look ridiculous. And he grinned, but there was hurt in his grin. And I went away and I thought, Lord, I didn't do good. So I went back as quick as I could and said, John, I was teasing you, but I shouldn't have done it. Forgive me. Fine. Saw him yesterday. He's fine with it. It's got to be done quick. And we all know the reason why it needs to be done quick. It's because, number one, the wound will fester on the one that's wronged. And the one that's doing the wronging, me in this case, will rationalize in about an hour that I didn't do so bad. Were you that way? After a while, I figure out I didn't do anything wrong at all. So I need to do it soon. And I need to admit the wrong. I'm leaving out something, and let me go back. This is unforgivable for a speaker to do, but I need to do it. We get the idea sometimes from Calvinism that the child of God is okay, and he cannot be lost. He can't sin as to be lost. That's not true. Let me read you a scripture or two. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good works of God and the powers of the world to come, if they, I can't read my writing in my red ink here, but anyway, there are several scriptures that will tell you that you can fall away as a Christian to the point where you cannot make it back. Scriptures are pretty clear about that. So let's admit that. Now back to what I was talking about. What do you do if you are the one that's wronged? You have been wronged. What should you do? Somebody. This is an English speaking group, isn't it? What do you do? Sir?
I think you have to forgive.
You do have to forgive, but before that, what do? There you go. I mean, I know I did it. I'm pretty dumb. And sometimes I roll over people like a Mack truck and don't even know I did it. Come to me and, hey, big boy, you know what you said? You hurt my feelings. You did wrong. Well, you're right. Maybe I can straighten that out. That's the first thing. Settle it right then. Now, we're not talking about me singing too loud, or the way I comb my hair, or the way I read poorly. We're not talking about those things, are we? We're not talking about your likes or dislikes. We're talking about sure enough sin. We all know what sure enough sin is, don't we? We've been guilty in a lot of the congregations we've been in of being overly critical of things that weren't sin. We've seen dress codes. Our kids ran into this back in the 60s and 70s, and And this is one of the reasons why my kids don't go to church anymore. Dress codes. We're not talking about that. We're talking about something that we know that is really wrong. It's really a sin. And if Joe comes to me and says, "Tom, you did wrong." And if I agree with him, if he convinces me, and if he's got the nerve to do that, he's probably right. I probably did wrong. He's probably nailed it down. Then I need to make it as right as I can with Joe. Now, I don't necessarily need to tell the rest of you about it, with this one exception. If I need moral support in a group, there's nothing wrong with me standing up and say, "I've got a problem with whatever." And I want some of you to help, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about forgiveness, getting over the sin. I've heard people get up and make confessions in church and say, "If I have done anything wrong," that's a good one, isn't it? You ever heard that? "If I've done anything wrong." We knew of a college president in a Christian college, and I ain't going to tell you where it is, but it's none of your business. But he was getting run out, was what he was doing. And he stood up in front of the group and said, "If I've done anything wrong," and this woman in the back said, "That's not good enough, you have." Now, so stay away from that "if I've done anything wrong." You probably wouldn't be up there in that embarrassing spot if unless you've done something wrong. So own it. Responsibility of the one sinned against. And Jimmy, I wanted Joe's answer first, but then I want Jimmy's answer. Tell us again what I should do. Forgive. I'm going to ask Jimmy to forgive me. And Jimmy's supposed to forgive me. That's tough, isn't it? Y'all know what the big sins are, don't you? What if it's a big sin? What? That's mine, ain't it? Joe and I have got this thing. Joe's sins are the big sins, and mine are the little ones. What if it's a big one, Jimmy? It is. You don't think David come tell me?
I don't think David
tell you. Okay. All right. Okay.
I wouldn't go to everybody.
Okay. That's true.
So, and without, you have to forgive. I
don't
think you have to go so far as
to forgive. You have to, but it's hard to do.
I didn't say that.
I know. Anybody else? Any of you have trouble with this? What if it's a big one? Big old nasty one with thorns hanging all over it. What about one of them? Who said something? Somebody said, before you withdraw fellowship with each other, you got to have fellowship. Too many places doubt there ain't no fellowship. That's good. Again, back on these big old nasty ones. They're hard to do. I was in practice for years and years and years. And I've used the illustration a lot of times. If you come to me and write me bad check after bad check after bad check, And then after a while, you come to me and say, I'm so sorry, I'm going to make this right. And I say, fine, but I don't want your check anymore. You know, that's pretty normal. That's pretty normal. What do you do with that? What if you got a pedophile that comes in? Let's use the worst thing I can think of. What if you got a pedophile that comes in? He's paid his penance. He served his time. The Lord's forgiven him. We've forgiven him. You gonna let him stay with your kids? Oh no. Yes, sir. Yeah, but he's not a swine anymore. He done been restored. He's forgiven. But I don't want to throw some kind of temptation in front of him where I know he's got a weakness. And I think that's normal, and I don't believe I'm sinning and feeling that way. Anybody else? I'm enjoying your thoughts. Yes, sir.
So every time something like that happens, forgiveness is forgiveness, but you're going to
leave home. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But y'all are talking about going to each other in confidence, and that is so important. We need to do as little harm. You know, that part of the Hippocratic Oath says do no harm. A lot of harm has been done by talking about things out of school that should have remained private. Now, as you know, I'm an ex-drunk, and I've had a drunk in nearly 30 years now. But because of that, I've gone to a lot of people in the church with problems with drugs and alcohol. And I went to one man, sweetest guy you ever saw, but he was in intensive care with acute pancreatitis because of booze. And they let me in because I told them about my history. So they let me go back there in intensive care and talk to him. And I said, we got to get you some help, Steve. And he said, well, I don't want anybody to know about it. And I said, well, Steve, everybody can smell you since you walk in the building. He didn't make it, I'm sorry to say. He died. But the next thing I want to talk about is maybe those in God's family that can share a weakness. Maybe somebody, we knew a man down in Waynesboro, fine fella, father of a great preacher down there. He goes to ball games and has a big temper tantrum. Everybody in the county knows about it. Has a fit at a ball game. Rose, you know what I'm talking about. Well, maybe if I have a temper trouble, maybe I could talk to him. We knew a preacher's wife that's a kleptomaniac. She'd go to Woolworths and steal cheap costume jewelry that nobody would wear, but she'd steal it. And they kept that preacher and his wife in that congregation all their lives and dealt with it. And I think that's to their credit. That was wonderful. She had a, well, her bubble wasn't quite in the middle, was what her problem was, but she did have that problem. What does the whole congregation do if the congregation is damaged by the sin? Let's talk about one of them big old woolly ones that everybody knows about. It's in the paper. What does the sinner do there? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Any more? Better make it right, hadn't you? You'll never, like he said, you'll never get it right because there's a lot of damage done. Yes, sir. Like my old daddy said, the confession needs to be as public as the sin. And if everybody knows it, Middle Tennessee, you better do your best to make it right. You never will do it. You'll never get it right, but stand up there and own it. Now, discretion is the better part of valor on some of this. Some of these things, you might not tell everything you know. Brother H.A. Dixon of Freedom Army College used to tell this story. I hope it was just an illustration about the man that stood up and said, I've been committing adultery with this elder's wife right over here. I hope that didn't happen. I hope he was just using an illustration. But you see the point. You can do some real damage with things like that. But ordinarily, to make the thing right, we need to be public if the sin is public. Anybody else on that one? That's next. Now, what do we do? You pat him on the back and say, if I can ever help you, don't feel free to call on me. I've always worried about that. I've worried about when we have people come forward and are baptized and put on Christ, and then we turn them loose. And if somebody's been out there in the slime, like I've been, and he comes back, we pat him on the back, and we all cry a little bit. And we say, if I can ever help you now, you be sure and give me a call. And that's it. That ought not to be, folks. That ought not to be. That's about as vulnerable as you can be when you're either one of those situations. And we need to ride herd in the sweetest, kindest way possible to a brother or a sister who've been out there and been embarrassed and humiliated and dragged through the mud through their own doing. It's their fault, not excusing that. But we've got a responsibility to build up and cover a multitude of sins. Can you give some thoughts on any example on this? I know you've run into it as I have too. You talking about Church of Christ probation period? Y'all ever heard that? It's in the Bible somewhere, y'all. I promise you it is. I hadn't found it yet, but I know it's there. That happens, and it happens all the time. And how in the world can a man or a woman make it back where they ought to be in God's family if we don't help them? That's two instances of what we call the second law of pardon, and one of them is in Acts, I think, 8, where Simon the sorcerer was baptized. And then he tried to buy the gift of the Holy Spirit and was roundly condemned. But and he didn't have to go in front of the whole congregation because they didn't know about it. But who? Peter? Was it Peter? I think he about tried to buy it from Peter. Said, repent, and perhaps the thought of thy heart will be forgiven thee. So he had to make it right there. But he was a Christian. He made it back. The next example, and it is a real flagrant one. We've been talking about that on Wednesday night some. In 1 Corinthians, when the man was having a sexual relationship with his, we think, stepmother, you know, I heard an old elder one time say, a wise monkey never monkeys with another monkey's monkey. But man, this man carried it to the ridiculous lengths. Going with his own stepmother. And Paul jumps on the congregation. I'm assuming he's already jumped on the man and the woman. But he condemns the congregation for allowing this sort of thing to go on. And they dealt with it. But notice over in 2 Corinthians, after they've disciplined the man, he says, enough is enough. He learned his lesson now. Just don't beat him to death. Just don't have a probation period. He's right. Welcome him back. Good example. Two examples of what we call the second law of pardon. We got to be real careful not to do damage. Some terrible damage has been done. I brought this up when we first started attending Echo Hills, but a church we used to go to is a cute little girl. I'm not going to tell you because some of you might know her. Beautiful figure. I noticed it, and I'm nearly 80, so I noticed you young men would notice it. But she liked to show it off, and she wore revealing clothes. And a woman in this congregation embarrassed her publicly. The whole family left the church. The daddy has never been back to church yet. I believe that's right, Rose. Am I right? Yeah, he hadn't come back yet. Now, I've got to admit, the girl is probably sinning. I think she is sinning wearing that kind of clothes. Like I said, an old wore-out man like me noticed it. I know the young fellows noticed it. What should have been done? Somebody, I want to hear from you. Very private. Kind. Loving. Honey, awful pretty. You need to cover some of it up. Anybody else? What would you have done? Maybe nothing?
I would have got another person to go with him and say, I wouldn't want to go by myself. She's that kind of woman. I would want another person to go with him and talk to her lovingly.
Right. Right. She's my little buddy. We exchange birthday presents. Pickled pig's feet is what we give each other on our birthday. I started it, gift wrapped her some pickled pig's feet, and so then she gives me one on my birthday. So we're buddies. And I've often thought, I didn't do anything. I guess I was, ought to be ashamed. But if I'd had the nerve that I should have had, I'd have gone and said, "Hun, you're too cute for your own good. You need to be careful and tone it down a little bit." And I believe I could have done it, but I failed to do it. I'm ashamed. I was wrong in doing that, but whoever the person was, and I think I know who it was, that criticized her in public, got to be careful about that. Any comments? Any comments on that? I appreciate your comments and your thoughts. We've been talking about the second law of pardon, and that is the Christian that sins. I don't know any of you well enough to know your relationship with your Lord. I've had to go forward a lot of times in my life for dumb stuff I've done, and a lot of them were flagrant and open, and everybody knew about them, and I've had to stand up and tell about them. And it's not fun, but I had to do it. I don't know your situation. You may need to make things right with God after you're a Christian. And also, the first law of pardon is what Peter talked about in Acts chapter 2. People that had never been baptized, had never put on Christ. Again, I want to tell you about my own experience. When I was 11 years old, two of my buddies came by the house, and I was out in the yard playing. Said, "We're going to be baptized tonight. You want to go with us?" I said, "Yeah, I believe I will." So we were all immersed. Later on, when in my 30s, I was fishing in the creek with my preacher buddy over in Stewart County, and I said, "Rex, I've worried about my baptism all my life. I think all I did is got wet." And I said, "I want to be sure I'm right." So he baptized me. When we came up, he said, "I did the same thing. I want you to baptize me." So I baptized Rex too in the creek over there. And I felt good about it. I believe I did right. I don't know any of you well enough to know where you are. But there's probably somebody in this group that needs to make things right one way or the other. And we'll give you that opportunity. As I've said before, the Bible doesn't say a thing about me extending the Lord's invitation. Not my invitation. It's His. But there's nothing wrong with us emphasizing in a period of time at the end of a lesson to think about what you need to do. So do that as we stand and sing, Joel.
"'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus,
just to take Him at His word."